Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of A View from the Bridge for the 29th of March 2006 here on A View from the Bridge. We try to bring you all the news and views of the Elite League champion Coors Belfast Giants and the current Elite League playoffs. Je m'appelle Patrick Smith.
Me llamo Aaron Kernahan. Welcome to the show. This week's show, we're going to look back at a few games that have happened so far in the playoffs, look forward to those coming up, and have a wee crack with ground at the other group that's going on as well.
Of course, if you want to contact us here on A View from the Bridge, there's ways of going about it. You can send us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or you can log on to our website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Well, Aaron, we're well into the playoff tournament at the minute with the champions, Belfast Giants. Well, not say champions as much as we did last time, but we were four games in, and the Giants doing pretty well.
Yep, going quite well so far. Picked up first three games were on the road against the other three teams in our group in Cardiff, Coventry and Edinburgh. And we managed to pick up one win, one draw, and one loss, picking up 3 points on the road.
Indeed. The loss came in the very first game against the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, but a team that seems to really have picked up their form towards the end of the league season and now in these playoffs as well. A very tense, tight game for the Giants' last ever game, actually, in the Welsh National Ice Rink over in Cardiff, which Giants took an early lead through Sean Skihar. Unfortunately, the Giants couldn't hold on, and Cardiff managed to sneak the win 3-1. After that, we went down to our favourite place in the whole of the Elite League.
Oh, the lovely people down there. Lovely people down there in Coventry.
Yep.
Love them.
For our last visit of the season there.
Oh, you're joking me.
No, well, I mean, it's turning into quite a nice rivalry.
I love them guys.
Oh, well, so do I. Just not some of them.
They're starting to creep up a bit on the whole, Nottingham used to be my pet hit, but Coventry are really sneaking up.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've hated Nottingham for a lot longer, but Coventry are doing a good job of becoming our new team that we love to hate.
Yeah. Well, they need to have some sort of rival, but we did. It was honours even by the end of that game.
Yeah, I finished 2-2 over there. A few of our defencemen stepping up to help out on the forward lines, Lee Jamieson and Jason Bowen getting our goals. And both of whom have actually had a fantastic start to the playoffs. Sort of, as I said, helping out in other areas that maybe they don't play so often, which we'll maybe go into that a bit later on in the show. But, you know, a fantastic result to get in Coventry, a 2-2 draw. And in these playoffs, any away point is massive.
Yeah, to take away any sort of points on the road, especially in this playoff tournament and in this group, is absolutely vital. You got to hold your own at home and pick up what you can away. And forcing the Blaze to drop a point is good for us and bad for them.
Yep, especially as I say, you know, over there, place where we've historically, you know, really after three seasons of playing there, struggled to get wins and even to get draws over the last few years. So it's a huge, massive point, really.
And then last Saturday, we travelled to Edinburgh. Another trip to Edinburgh for a big game against them. And a win.
Yeah. And again, you know, no harm to Edinburgh Capitals. And we always enjoy the hospitality and everything that they show us. But at this stage of the season, at the postseason, they really have to be beaten. There's no two ways about it. They just have to be beaten. If you lose to the Capitals, basically, you don't really deserve to go to the finals weekend.
maybe a bit harsh there, but no, it's fair. Fair. The win against them gave us three points from six on a away game. So a 50% record is one that I'm sure Ed Courtney was very happy with, especially given our poor end of the league season.
Yeah, but playoffs are sort of a different story, you know. Once we've sort of got the league title wrapped up, or well, maybe handed to us would be, in the end, would be the better way to phrase it. But you know, it's nice to get back into competitive hard hockey again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's continued tonight. Actually, you're just back in from the game against the Cardiff Devils. Our first home game, of three games in a matter of 4 days, and this is the first one. And a great win.
Yeah, a fantastic win. Really, really impressive play from both teams, to be fair. The Devils played as well as they played in that last game at the Odyssey over a month ago now. The Devils came over and beat us to ruin our party. I think the Gents were pretty determined not to let that happen again with the presentation that was happening post game tonight. And they went out and they played some fantastic hockey. The defense was brilliant. Some of the offensive play we put together as well was pretty breathtaking, actually. I mean, I think we hit the metalwork three or four times. But sort of on the converse to that, whenever Brad Voth was in the penalty box for his 5 minute penalty, when he was in the changing room for his 5 minute penalty, the Devils broke out with sort of shorthanded and beat Mike Menard, and the puck came back right off the bar. So, you know, it saved us in that way as well, so I suppose that's fair enough. But in general, once we got 2-1 ahead, we really did, you know, we just strung out, in my opinion, across the blue line and played very clever hockey and just tried our best to stop the Devils getting the second equaliser.
Well, that's it. Curtis Hoppe and Sean Skihar coming up with the goals, and both goals being assisted by Coventry's favourite import, Mr. Theo Fleury.
Yep, and the first goal was a very, very good goal, actually. George Iwata, who picked that man of the match, got in behind the goal. I can't remember who it was, but he dispossessed the Devils player behind the goal, and managed just to nudge it over to Theo Fleury, who passed out from behind the goal, and there was Curtis Hoppe right in the slot, right in front, to absolutely hammer it past Peter Aubrey, who was fantastic tonight, actually, and it took a good goal like that to beat him. After that, the Devils got back into it on one of the strangest goals I think I've seen in the Odyssey.
What?
Well, when I say seen, I didn't actually see it.
Stranger than Lee Sorkin against Joel Lang.
I would say so, yeah.
Stranger than Mel Engelstad.
It was actually...
And the puck went straight up in the air.
To me, it was quite similar in a way to Mel Engelstad. It didn't get quite the same altitude. But as far as I could see, Curtis Hoppe was at the end of a long shift, and he was struggling to get the puck out of our zone on the Devils' sort of right wing side, just on the boards inside the blue line. Stone came in and managed to pin him into the boards and come away with the puck. And this is where it kind of goes a bit blurry for me. He fired a shot.
What were you doing?
And I sort of... Coke. No, he fired a shot in towards Menard and looked over at Mike Menard, expecting, you know, to see him go down into sort of into his butterfly or whatever and save the puck. And next thing, there was no puck. And next thing, all I saw was the puck rolled down the back of the net and the red light go on. And I'm informed that the puck either took a deflection, or the way that Stone hit the shot, it sort of lobbed up in the air, and Menard either lost sight of it and it dropped past his glove, or it bounced under his glove.
Good.
Sort of on the, just the way it arced into the goal. I mean, I was waiting for Menard to go down and make the save. So you know how it is whenever someone fires up a big slap shot. You sort of, you know, your attention goes from where the shot is to the goalkeeper. And you wait for that to happen, but it never seemed to arrive. It seemed to go in slow motion. So if anyone can help us, certainly get in touch and let us know what you saw. But it was a bit of a strange one.
That does sound strange, I have to say.
And then after that, I think we got our second on the power play. Some fantastic play from Colin Shields, who actually I thought played very well tonight. Everyone played very well tonight, but Colin Shields produced some, skated hard and played very well. Went down the left wing and fired a pass across to Sean Skihar, who finished it beautifully. A great wrist shot past Aubrey into the back of the net and put us 2-1 up.
2-1 up puts us on 5 points from 4 games. And really leaves us in a strong position going into the game on Friday night against the Coventry Blaze.
Yeah, I mean, the next game, obviously now on Friday night, where basically we need to beat the Blaze to get over to the finals weekend in Nottingham in about 10 days' time. It's quite scary that it's so close.
Eight days till we get there. 9 days till the thing starts.
Yeah, so it's getting very close.
Can you tell him counting days? Yeah, it's a must win. That's called spade a spade. It's a must win. If we are to hold any hope of getting to Nottingham, Coventry's a tough team to beat. And then so I hope we play well against them. And then on Saturday, the next day, is the final game of the playoff qualifiers. Excuse me, and our third game in 4 days, sir.
Yeah, which is always going to be tough, especially at this stage of the season, and with us running slightly short benched at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, it's the Capitals, and as I said earlier, we really should be beating the Capitals at every opportunity.
Well, you know, they might be in a rush to get home.
Well, you never know. But maybe with it being, well, I don't think they can qualify now, can they?
No, I don't think
so. With it being their last game of the season, maybe Tony will let them have a night out in Belfast.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe so. I was going to say that the games will be on BelfastGiants.com with Nigel and Wayne, but tonight's wasn't, so keep an eye on www.BelfastGiants.com for any details of any the coverage of the game on Friday night or the game on Saturday night against the Adam Kettles. Let's have a quick chat about the team, Aaron.
Yeah.
We played in Edinburgh, as we said, last Saturday, and a horrible injury to Steve O'Brien.
Yeah, one that's pretty much ended his season on him, unfortunately. Well, not pretty much, it has ended his season on him, unfortunately. From what we can make out, he fell over, basically, and managed to catch his sort of, I'm not sure whether it was his inner thigh or his calf. I've heard two differing reports on that, with his own skate.
Oh.
To make it, if you want it to sound worse, I can also reveal that he had his skates sharpened. I think the day before.
Uh-huh.
So his skates were perfectly, you know, perfectly as sharp as they really could be.
Uh-huh.
And also that the cut basically went right through to the bone.
Stop it.
And the surgeon said something along the lines of it being one of the worst cuts he's ever seen.
I'm clutching with my thigh here.
And basically it required an awful lot of stitches, and not just external stitches. I think there's a few internal ones required as well.
A terrible injury. A terrible injury for what is has been a vital player.
He's been a great player, you know, picking up points here and there, playing a very solid defensive style, which sort of meshes well with the other players we have on our defence this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry news. And it's added to our woes. There have been quite a few injuries in the Belfast Giants camp by the playoff time, especially when it's unfortunate considering playoff rules do not allow us to replace these players through injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the rules, and it's fair enough, because you don't want teams sort of, you know, qualifying for the playoffs and then thinking, right, let's
load our team with playoff standard players.
Yeah.
We're going to play for six games or eight games and that's it. Sure, you buy.
I mean, you can just see ourselves, you know, well, let's see who's available out there. Well, there's Alexander McGillney. Maybe, you know.
If we got Wayne Gretzky, Hull. You know. Brett Hull.
Wayne Gretzky, and, yes. Wayne's maybe a bit busy with the Coyotes, so.
Yeah, no, and of course you Messier. He'll be in Ireland researching his heritage. And
of course, don't forget Bob Probert.
Bob Probert, and, well, you know, and why not go for Owen Nolan? He's a Belfast lad as well. Anyway.
Swiftly on.
We wish to Steve O'Brien a speedy recovery. I know he'll not be with us for the rest of this season, but who knows? Maybe we'll see him again next season.
as we hope we will see quite a few other players.
Yeah, but I would hope so.
Let's have a quick look at the playoff table as it stands, Aaron. Of course, the Giants being in Group A. And at top of Group A, Cardiff Devils, 5 games played with 8 points.
And they're, of course, already qualified.
That's them through. They'll be in Nottingham weekend next. We're currently in second with 5 points. Joint points with Comrie Blaze, but with... Why are we in second?
I'm not entirely sure.
The playoff table reads that we're in second when we should be in third, from what I can see. 4 games played, 2 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. 9 goals for, 8 goals against, that's a positive 1 in goal difference, 5 points. Whereas the Coventry Blaze are, five games played, 2-1, 1 drawn, 2 lost, 15 goals for, 12 goals against, plus 3. So even on goal difference, Coventry should be second.
Let's see, on goal difference they're ahead, on goals for they're ahead, on goals against we're ahead, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of it. the head-to-head, possibly, but of course that was a draw.
That was a draw. There's no reason why we should be second place on that table.
Maybe so, it's alphabetical.
Maybe it is. So I state that Coventry are second in the group. We're third. Both on 5 points, and the poor Adam McCallum was 4 games played, 4 games lost.
And minus a big 12. Loss tonight for them to Coventry, of course.
It's a minus 12. So that's them most definitely out. Group B is an altogether different prospect.
Yep. Well, now the Newcastle Vipers are definitely through.
Newcastle Vipers are definitely through. 9 points from 5 games. The best run in the playoffs. Fantastic for the Newcastle Vipers. But it really is all to play for. Well, kind of. If Sheffield gain another win, Sheffield Steelers are second. With Basingstoke third and Nottingham fourth, but both Basingstoke and Nottingham only have have 2 points. Nottingham are yet to win. It could be a case that we go to Nottingham in a week and a bit's time, and the Panthers aren't there. But how my heart will bleed for them. So that's Vipers top, Sheffield second, Basingstoke third, and Nottingham fourth, with Sheffield needing one win to be certain of travelling to. Sorry, Sheffield need one win to be sure of travelling to Nottingham in a week and a bit. Sheffield travel to Newcastle on Sunday for a game in the Metro Relay Arena, and where they'll be hoping to pick up those vital 2 points away from home. That'll take them to Nottingham. Of course, I'll tell you who will be at Nottingham, other than the Vipers and the Cardiff Devils. That'll be me. Hooray!
And me.
Hooray!
And some London Knights. Oh, God. London Knights.
Did you say London Knights? London Racers.
London Racers fans.
London Racers fans. For anybody who doesn't know, the Nate Leslie Cup is being contested between the two semi-finals on the Saturday at the at Bunkers, which is the bar at the back of the NIC. Now, do you want to tell them about the Nate Leslie Cup, Aaron?
Yeah, the Nate Leslie Cup, named after... one of the former London Knights' greatest ever players, who was only on the team because his dad was the coach. Basically, came about as a bit of a friendly challenge between sort of London fans and Belfast fans. Whenever the Knights ended, it continued with Racers fans and Giants fans. Sort of the basic premise was whoever finished higher in the playoff groupings, or indeed in the playoffs, in general, be it the final or whatever, picked up the Nate Leslie Cup.
Of course, last season, with the Giants failing to make the playoff finals weekend, and the London Racers certainly finishing above them, it was presented by Dennis Maxwell to the London fans. And it's been sitting in a friend of the show, Rick Strang's computer room all season long. And this season, with the unfortunate demise of the London Racers, the powers that be have devised a paper-scissors-stone match to take place at Bunkers. The teams are yet to be announced, but I've heard that London are going around talking a bit of smack about how they're going to be kicking our asses, and I seriously don't think that's going to happen.
Well, after the Belfast Giants training camp, I think we're well prepared.
Yes, the fantastic Belfast Giants training video, which is available on YouTube or on Google Video. If you just type in Belfast Giants, it should come up. Some good-looking lads in that, I tell you.
Well, and some snow.
Well, me and snow and beer. And we kicked Ice Baron Berlin's ass, and London, we're going to kick your ass too.
The only problem being that one of our members did get beaten by a little girl.
Rumour has it that because of that, London are looking to recruit a little girl for their team. I say bring it on, because we've already got a little girl on our team, Marty McAllister. He's our little girl, because he plays like a little girl. And, you know, bring it on, London. Bring it. Let's see what you got. Huh? Let's see what you got. I may have had a couple of beers, but I'm still not afraid of you. Still not afraid of you. Bring it. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up the show, because I'm starting to get angry.
Good night, everyone.
We'll hope you be back next week. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke to you. We'll hope you'll be back next week and give you a preview of what will be a drunken, but hopefully enjoyable, playoffs weekend in Nottingham. And bring you up to date with any other news going on around the league. Before we go, actually, I'd just like to have a quick moment's silence for Zoe Chance. A lovely Zoe Chance. And we'll see you next week on A View from the Bridge.
Cheerio to everyone. Got you up against the world to steal you around.